We're starting a new series in the book of Esther. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Esther. I'm going to have to give a couple of disclaimers as we teach this book, because so many writers have actually, I felt like, have not did a deep study in it. So we're going to look at it in a different light today. Esther chapter 1. What is theology? Theology is the study of God. Theo means God, and ology means study of. What is hermeneutics? Hermeneutics is the study of the correct interpretation of the Bible, of biblical text. And we want to talk about that today, because so many people always get the wrong interpretation. 2 Peter 1:20 say, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not by the will of man, but by the will of God in old time. Let me cut this down a bit. So we want to look at the correct interpretation today in the book of Esther. I'm going to give you several scriptures to back up our speaking this morning so you'll be able to follow me. First of all, the name of God is not listed in the book of Esther. So many people say, well, then it's not an inspired book. No, every book, all the 66 books are inspired by God. So Esther is, even though the name of God is not there, it is still written by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? It's the 17th book in the Bible. If you study the Bible, the Old Testament we call 39 books. We use 5, 12. There are 5 books of Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then you got 5, 12, you got 12 books of history, where Esther is the last 12th book in history. Then you got 5 books of poetry. Then you got 5 books of major prophets and 12 books of minor prophets. So Esther is a very important book. We're going to look at it today because so many people get it out of context. But it is a book that's inspired by the word of God, and God wrote it for a purpose for us to use today. Amen? We're going to look at a couple of scriptures before we go to Esther so I can get a background. Turn to 1 Peter in the back of the Bible, chapter 2. I'm going to look at verse 17. And when you get there, say amen so I know you're with me. First Peter chapter 2, verse 17. You there, say amen. The Bible reads, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. And what's the next part? Honor the king. We're going to look at that as we study Esther today, that they would, even though people say, well, that was a wicked king, no, God had put him in order. And we're going to look at God sets up and he sets down. God put him in order, so you're supposed to honor the king. In Psalm 75, 6, it says, for promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put us down one and says, so let me tell you, if you're looking for a job, you're looking for promotion, go to God. A lot of people say, well, you know, I need to get in with the manager. No, you don't need to get in with the manager. You get in with God. God is the one that will promote you or not promote you. Amen? So we need to always trust that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And again, we always use this verse to talk about the virtuous woman, but it also, Solomon was writing, his mother had gave him the book. Proverbs chapter 31, you there, say amen. Verse 1 say, the words of King Lemuel, which is Solomon, the prophecy that what? His mother taught him. Everybody with me? Look at verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for his princes strong drink. You see that? Turn over to Ecclesiastes, one book over. Chapter 10. When you get there, say amen. Verse 17, it said, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength. Now look at the next four verses. And not for what? Drunkenness. So God would bless the king. The king would have a feast to his princes and have a feast to all his states, head of states, but it wasn't to get drunk. And we're going to look at that. A lot of commentators have said he was drunk and stew. He was not. He was doing what God had called him to do. He was serenading his own kingdom. Okay, turn to the book of Esther, chapter 1, where we'll go today. When you get to Esther, say amen. I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 12, and then look at a couple more verses. Then we'll pray. Then we'll get into our message today. Esther chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Xerxes. This is Xerxes, which reigned from India even into Ethiopia over 127 provinces. So here's the king of Xerxes, or king of Ahasuerus. He's over 127 provinces. That in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace. When we get to Shushan, it's a type of Persia. It's a type of over in the Middle East. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all the princes and his servants, the power of Persia and the Medes. This is during the time of the Medes and the Persia, the nobles and the princes of the province being before him. When he showed the riches of his what? Glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 104 days. So he actually was having a celebration for almost 6 months, and he's showing it to all the heads of states. And when those days were expired, this is after the first 6 months, the king made a feast unto all the people. So this is to the people that was present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small. This is to all the rich and poor people, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white and green and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillows of marble. The bed, it was just a time of coronation. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and of blue and white and black and marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse. So each man had his own drink, one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. Now I want you to see the next verse. This is where they mess up at. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. So this was a celebration. They weren't supposed to get drunk on. They had a law, and it wasn't for drunkenness. It was just a time of celebration that the king was coronating his whole kingdom, and he was having all these 127 provinces, and all these people from all the different countries came, and he was giving a celebration. And look down at the next verse. And Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine. Now, this is when they say he was drunk, but he was not drunk. He was just excited about all the people there. He commanded, I'm not going to read all the names of these names, but these are seven princes. Jump down to verse 11. To bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty. For she was fair to look upon. Verse 12 is a key verse. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlain. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Jump down to verse 16. And Melamon answered before the king and the princess, Vashti the queen has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the province of King Ahasuerus. Jump down to verse 19. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persian and the Medes. These were laws that could not be changed, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Now, I want you to follow me today in the correct hermeneutic interpretation. In this scripture, King Ahasuerus is a type of Jesus Christ. He's actually a type of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. His wife, Vashti, is a type of rebellious Israel. She would not come in. The nation of Israel was chosen by, we had that in our Sunday school lesson, was chosen by God, and they rebelled. And so they went into captivity. Later on, next Sunday, we'll talk about Esther. She's a type of the restored Israel. She's a type of the new queen. Israel lose their title. They go into captivity. Vashti go into captivity. But God brings in Esther, a new queen, restored Israel. Haman is a type of the devil. The devil, Eric is always, there. And he's always causing problems. He's a type of the Antichrist. And Mordecai is a type of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk to you just a little bit today on about, even if you don't understand the king commandment, you ought to obey the king. Because the king is the one that's in charge. God sets up and God obeys. So even though Vashti didn't quite understand it, she should have came in because it was a picture of her showing her royal beauty to all God's people. It's a picture of Jesus Christ in the millennium when he brings the church back. And the church is going to be a model of his grace. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our Sunday school lesson today that we had on Lot and Abraham. Lot was a man that really chose the flesh. He looked at sight, and Abraham was a man of promise. Thank you for, Lord, you even worked in Lot's life. Even though Lot did not do right, you spared him and his two daughters. Then, Lord, thank you for our time of, again, our praise time and our congregational and talking about the different things that you've done, the testimonies. We heard the testimony of Erica, heard the testimony of some of the others, how the Lord has blessed them and how they trust in you, Lord. Thank you for our time of our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for our corporate prayer by Jerry. Thank you for our time of reading of, again, announcements, Lord. Thank you for our time of, again, taking up our offering. And then thank you for the last two songs of the praise team. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching. Say, I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my sins, that you cleanse me up, that you use me for a conduit to preach the unadulterated word of God. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Allegory. When you study the Bible, make sure you study allegory. Sometimes people get all mixed up, but you need to make sure that you study the Bible allegory. A picture of that is I've gave you several analogies in the Bible, and I'm going to give you one. Serpent is always a picture of the devil. Amen? But in one case, it's a picture of Christ. When he told Moses to take the serpent and put him on the pole, and everybody that looked at that pole would be healed, that's a picture of Christ. So you have to study it to understand it. It's always in the scripture, 99% of the time, it's talking about the devil. But when he took the pole and put the serpent on, it was a picture of Christ. If I be lifted up, amen, I would draw men. So we see this in him. King Herod, again, there's another story in the Bible that people get mixed up, and that was King Herod and his stepdaughter, Herodias, was mad at John the Baptist because John the Baptist told King Herod it was unlawful to have Philip, your brother's sister for you all. You remember that? And so then Herod wanted to kill John the Baptist, so she couldn't get to him. So she had her daughter, probably about 17 years old, come in and dance before the king. Now that was a sensual dance, and that was wrong. But this is not the type of dance that's going on in the book of Esther. It's a totally different thing. So we want to look at how, again, if we study the Bible hermeneutically, we'll find out that this king, Xerxes, is a type of Christ. Vashti was supposed to be a type of Israel, but she refused. 3 points I want to give you this morning as we study the book of Esther. Point number one is there's coming a kingdom, a fifth kingdom, with an eternal ruler. His name is Jesus Christ. There's going to be a vast territory and a vast worth and a vast wealth. Jesus Christ. There have been four kingdoms that we study in the Bible. There have been the king of Babylon. We saw that with Nebuchadnezzar. The king of the Medes and the Persia, that's the kingdom that we're looking at today that Esther and Vashti was in. And then you have Greece and Rome. The Bible story always talks about, again, what's going on. It was a picture of the last kingdom. In Daniel chapter 7, there was an Ancient of Days that came down. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 7 that the Lord, that there was given to him a dominion and glory and a kingdom of all people and all nations. That kingdom that we're talking about, it's the millennial kingdom. Jesus Christ is coming back and he's going to set up a kingdom. So Jesus Christ is going to give a feast, just like this king here, to everybody. Just like Xerxes had 127 providence from India all the way to Ethiopia. Jesus Christ, when he come back and set up his kingdom, he's going to be Lord over all the earth. Amen? That's a picture of what happened. And so we see that Xerxes is having a kingdom. The Bible in Ecclesiastes 10 say, blessed art thou when the king and the princes eat in due season. So they're setting a kingdom. Jesus Christ is setting up that kingdom. In Revelation 11, 16, the 24 elders. Everybody question who the 24 elders are? There's a lot of historian and theological men say that the 12 apostles, and also they say that they're the 12 prophets. I don't know who they are. I believe they're the church. Anyway, the elders going to say in Revelation 11, 16, we give thee thanks, O Lord, because thou hast taken thee and thy great kingdom and thy great power. And in Romans 14, 17, it say the kingdom of God is not just meat and food, but it's righteousness. When we get to heaven, yes, it's going to be a Lord's Supper, but it's really going to be about righteousness. We're not going to be concerned about eating. You know, today we're concerned about eating because we're worried about weight. But when you get to heaven in your glorified body, you'll be able to eat, but you won't be thinking about weight. You'll be thinking about righteousness and holiness and serving the Lord. Amen. So that's the kingdom that we're talking about. Now, when you study this kingdom that's in Esther, you'll find out that the king was trying to do that. He was trying to demonstrate to the world he had a kingdom, a vast kingdom. And his wife, which is Vashti, is the crown of his kingdom. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. Jesus Christ is going to have a wife. The wife is the church. Amen? The church is going to be the crown of his kingdom. Amen? So point number one we want to talk about, there's going to be a fifth world kingdom. And that kingdom is going to be, Jesus Christ will be eternal ruler and also with vast wealth and glory. Point number two is the crown of the king is his wife and his family. Start with Adam. Adam was the anointed cherubim. Adam was the king. God gave Adam dominion over the whole world. But then he said it was not good that Adam should be what? Alone. So he made him a queen, a wife. By the way, for all you married men, just me and Jill, your wife is a queen. Amen? Treat her like a queen, okay? Your wife is a queen, and we talk about that. Now, a lot of people get mixed up with this Ephesians 5. It says, husband, love your wife, but then it says, wife, submit to your husband. Now, again, it's not talking about inferiority. It's just talking about that's her role. Amen? So we want to stay with the role. Let's stay with the Bible. Let me tell you, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. I'm not going to change. People say, well, I don't, you know, when I marry people, sometimes they say, well, don't say when you get to marry that I'm going to obey him. Take that out of the vow. I can't take that out of the vow. The Bible says, love, honor, and obey your husband. Well, I don't want you to say that. Well, I can't say not say that. So you got to get another preacher. Because I have to say what the Bible says, amen? Love, honor, and obey. So anyway, the crown of the kingdom was his wife. If you look at Exodus 4:22, God's glory was the nation of Israel. He said, Israel is my son, my firstborn. He told Pharaoh, let my people go or I'm going to destroy you because you have my firstborn. So Jesus is the husband. The church is his bride. Amen? 2 Corinthians 11, he said, for I have espoused you, verse 2, to one husband as a chaste virgin to Christ. Ephesians 5:27 say, that he might present you to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but holy and without blemish. Did you know that the church got a lot of problems? But you know God don't see it like that? You know, when God look at the church, he see a spotless virgin, a chaste virgin, because we are in Christ. Amen? All my sins been washed away. Now, you might see me, you might say, I got a lot of sin, but let me tell you, I am cleansed, I am pure, I am accepting of love. Christ has redeemed me from the law. I am totally holy. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about these holy people that go around like she was talking about the charismatic. They go around with all these, you know, even the Muslims, they wear this turban. That don't make you holy. Wearing these long dresses and all, that don't make you holy. I'm holy because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen? So we see the glory of the kingdom is his family. In the book of Esther, they put the crown on Vashti. And the king said, go tell Vashti to come in to show her beauty. Now, again, this wasn't anything wrong with that. It was just like the church. But Vashti would not come in. And that's where the problem is. That's a rebellious wife, a rebellious Israel. And so God sent Israel into captivity. Now, I don't get into movies because I'm not into movies, but I did go see Aladdin. Took my grandson to see Aladdin. And they had a prince in there. They had a princess in there. And she was beautiful. And when the prince came, he said, nobody told me you was beautiful. So when a king shows his kingdom, he always showed the queen. Amen? And she's beautiful. This is not a real good example, but you'll get the picture. In England, we have a queen. And the queen has a son. And the son has two sons, William and Harry. And they have two wives, Catherine and Meghan. And they are supposed to be beautiful. That's what they're supposed to be. When the king, most of y'all saw that royal wedding. When the king does his thing and invite all his people and everybody come, when the queen come in there, well, that was Prince Diana, but she's dead now. But anyway, when she come in there with her glory and everything, everybody's supposed to say, whoa, she's beautiful. Is that right? That's what's happening here in Esther. The king was hoping to bring his wife in there and for her to show her beauty and her glory. I'm just giving y'all this because y'all can relate to it. When Catherine or Mary William or when Meghan married Harry, it was mind-taking, wasn't it? It was breathless. When she came in there with that long flowing robe and all the bride, I mean, it was gorgeous. That's what Christ is going to do for the church. In the millennium, I know what you're saying. I don't have it together. You ain't going to have to get it together. We're going to be beautiful. When Christ sits on the throne in the millennium, when Christ comes back and set up his kingdom, the church is going to be exalted. Amen? He's going to say, this is what I died for. And I hope you're serving Christ, because the Bible says if you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many. So I want to be there on the front row. I don't know. I'm a basketball fanatic, too. I'm watching the Golden State, by the way. I'm not for you. I'm watching the Golden State in Toronto. But I want to be on the front row when I get to heaven. I want to be there excited. I want to be there to see Peter and James and Timothy. And I want to be there. And Christ's going to say, this is my bride. See all these saints of gold from Adam all the way to the rapture of the church. And I want to be in that. Are y'all listening to me? I want to be in that praise note. So this is what he was trying to prove. The king was saying, 1 Peter 5:5 says, submit yourself unto the elder, all your subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, I want you to get this right. So many wives miss this up. It says, as unto the Lord. Now, if your husband is not to the Lord, you still are submit to him, but just don't do nothing that is not going to please the Lord. Well, I need you to go to the store and buy me some liquor. I can't do that. Sorry. I mean, I'm your wife, but I can't go to somebody you look at because that's not pleasing to the Lord. So it means submit as unto the Lord. Amen? So we need to learn how to do that. And then in Matthew 22, it talks about the king had this great feast. And he went out to the highways in the Bible. He invited all the people in. And there came a man and without a wedding garment, basically without salvation. And the king said, friend, how comest thou in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. So it's a picture of rebellion. There's some restaurants you go to, they'll say, you can't eat if you don't have on no shirt or no shoes. So when you go to these restaurants, you're on vacation, and you're in your swimwear, if you go to these restaurants, they have jackets that you can put on because they will not serve you if you don't have a shirt on. Amen? So this is what we're talking about. When you go to heaven, you're going to have the garment of righteousness. You're going to have Jesus' garment on. Let me give it to you like this. I was on the sin market by the devil. The devil was trying to sell me into more sin. I turned to Jesus, and Jesus reached out and grabbed me and took his garment of righteousness and put on me and took my garment of filth and put it on himself. Jesus took all my sins and put them on him, and he put me on his coat of righteousness. So when I go to heaven, when he present me before the Father, I'm going to be a chaste virgin. I'm going to be spotless. I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be a holy trophy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all listen to me? So that's what God wanted to do. He wanted to present that. That's what Ahasuerus, King Xerxes, was trying to do. But Esther would not come in. So we see that she going to lose the throne. Zephaniah 3:2 says she obeyed not this voice. She received not correction. The king wanted to show her best, but the queen would not come in. The queen would not come in. The Bible in Proverbs 31:30 says, faith is deceitful. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. So we want to get back to serving the Lord and praising the Lord. Point number one is there's a vast kingdom that's going to be the fifth kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to rule. Point number two is that the glory of the kingdom is his family. And our last point today is dishonorable thinking always leads to dishonorable consequences. When you start thinking wrong, you're going to end up doing wrong. Vestia shouldn't have never thought about not going in. When she thought about that, it led to discomfort, and she ended up losing her queenship. Proverbs 15:33 says, before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of woman or man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Submit yourselves unto the elders. Like I said, submit yourself. When the king came in, she should have submitted herself to the king. Why? Because the king was in charge. God exalted him. God put him in authority. So we need to exalt ourselves. We don't need to exalt. We need to abase ourselves. Showing his splendor, showing his benevolence, showing his wealth, showing his favor. For 6 months, he showed it to the Secretary of State. For the 7th month, he was going to show it to the public. And Vestia, a picture of the rebellious Israel, refused to come in. Matter of fact, Vestia made a separate feast. We don't need a separate feast. There's only one feast. There's only one marriage supper of the Lamb. People get all mixed up. They think it's going to be multiple resurrections. There's only two resurrections. The resurrection of the saved and the resurrection of the lost. There's not going to be a multiple resurrection. You're either in the one with the bema seat or you're at the great white throne. There's only two resurrections. When Jesus Christ resurrects, it's going to be all saved people. All those people are going to be in the church or the Old Testament saints or the people that got saved in the nation of Israel. But there will be one resurrection, and that is going to be his trophy. That's going to be his queen. That's going to be his bride. He's going to present us to the world. And for eternity, future, and eternity past, he's going to always say, this is my bride. Isn't she wonderful? Isn't she beautiful? Isn't she? And so we need to realize that's what we do. 1,000-year millennium, a final feast. 1 Samuel 15:22, God said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and adultery. Do not rebel against the Lord. If the Lord asks you to do something, do it. Do not rebel. And then it says, because thou hast rejected me, the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being queen. Philippians 2:10 said it like this, that at the name of Jesus, every what? Knee gonna bow. And every what? Tongue gonna confess that thou art Lord. When the Lord call you, Xerxes was calling his wife. He's calling the church. She should have came. Bow before the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. When you get into Revelation, there's all the saints was hollering. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Matter of fact, John got up there one time. He started to cry. And one of the elders took him and said, hold on a minute. There's one that's here that's worthy. And he showed him a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He's talking about that lamb, which is Jesus Christ. He's worthy. You know what? I have nothing good in me. But because of Jesus, I am worthy. I'm accepted. I'm in the beloved. I have a home in heaven. I have a mansion. He said, if I go away, I will come and see you again. I go to prepare a place for you. There where I am, there where you be also. He got a mansion in the sky. Let me tell you. I'm a part of the bride. You ought to be a part of the bride. So when Christ comes, please do not reject him. The scriptures say now is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. There's a lot of people going to go to hell simply because they would not come in like Vestia. Vestia would not come in. So she lost her queenship. When the Lord calls you, please obey his commandment. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our study today in the book of Esther. We see how Xerxes is a type of Christ. We see our vestige, type of rebellious Israel. But later on, next week, we'll be looking at Esther. She's a type of the restored Israel. We know one day this nation of Israel is going to be restored. We don't know when, but one day, and then you're going to close the church door because the last Gentile is going to be added. You're going to turn your attention back to Israel. Lord, help us, as Erica and the other missionary, help us to go into the highways and the Bible. Help us to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and other parts of the earth, and compel and tell people, like Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Help us to tell people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Blessed we give the invitation, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.